Hello, today's Friday, September 20th. Welcome back to the news. We're doing tech and
tech,
nonsense.
Yeah, we usually do tech.
Yeah, IT. What? No, what is this
Security.
Section?
Security.
Security. We
nonsense.
Didn't really do like a hardware section. I guess Apple kind of, but it was more business.
We did the gaming phone and the iPad and stuff. I mean, new hardware releases that are interesting are few and far between.
I added and then deleted the story about AMD's BIOS update that fixes the boosts because...
Well, you want some hardware news? Here you go, Krista.
I didn't really want it.
How about...
I don't want it.
Intel having yet another weakness that doesn't affect AMD.
Weakness in Intel chips lets researchers steal encrypted SSH keystrokes. DDIO makes servers faster. It can also allow rogue servers to covertly steal data. The way that this works is not the way that you think it is. It's not actually bypassing the encryption. It's a timing attack. So it figures out how long that, like, it. You do some stuff to make the cache a certain way in the processor from other activity. And then if a keystroke comes in, you know that from cache activity in the processor from the stuff that you're doing. So if you measure the time between keystrokes, you know approximately where they are on a keyboard for a normal person who types on a keyboard the right way.
So when you're typing, just type crazy.
There are actually some SSH clients that only send a line at a time unless you do something that forces them to send immediately, like tab completion or something like that. Certainly for like the login, I can remember on typing the usernames and passwords were subject to a timing attack like this. And so they would send a username and password, not one keystroke at a time, but entirely.
Only log in with your left hand.
Easy.
That's the fix. This also only affects shared systems, unless you're compromised in some other way, because you have to be in there to get access to all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's pretty... It's a lot of work and a lot of guessing and a huge amount of investment. But if you're a government, for example, and you can get into a shared system with some, you know, like...
If you're a government, probably shouldn't be using x86 at this point. Intel.
Like they're going to upgrade everything just to all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They're still using Windows XP.
The Chinese and the Russians are both in there. They're fighting each other for control.
Hey, bro.
Well, before we disinfect these systems, we'll wait to see who the victor is.
So we also got some new ransomware. However, this one is a bit unique. It only goes for a certain kind of system, and it doesn't shut down the entire system. It only goes after your web-related files, which is interesting.
Thousands of servers infected with new Lilock to ransomware. It's just Linux machines. It's just starting Linux machines. We're not sure what the machines have in common yet, but the thought is that they're all XM-based servers that are using the XML server, because there was recently a very severe remote root vulnerability in XM. It's going to encrypt your website.
It's, yeah.
But not the system.
So HTML, JavaScript, CSS, PHP, and INI files. So your system, you might not even notice until you try to go to one of your websites and find out that it's just showing a list of encrypted files. So look out for that. Although, I mean, you know, should you really be running a mail server on your web server these days? You probably get direct deposit. I don't think very many people don't these days, especially people watching this. If you work in the tech industry, I imagine, you know, most of those companies do it. Well, you might not realize that is an ACH transfer. So just they have your account numbers and they can immediately move money into your account. But to protect themselves, almost every one of those services also has the ability to extract money from your account. Why would they do that? Well,
My Payroll HR collapses and stirs allegations, questions, and anger. So My Payroll HR was a cloud service that let you do your payroll and human resources in the cloud. What could possibly go wrong? So there was another company in here that actually
a clearinghouse.
Yeah, but they actually did the funding and move the money and that kind of thing. Something went catastrophically wrong with my payroll HR. Some account numbers were changed, and all of the companies that had signed up for this cloud service, which there were thousands, this was actually like a pretty good service, a pretty good company.
I saw a lot of people complain about this on Reddit, so.
Yeah. They just took the payroll money or something?
Well, it sounds like something nefarious happened
to my payroll HR.
And
yeah.
Someone went in and funneled all the money into their own private account,
yeah,
which forced the clearinghouse to cover the payments, which happens automatically.
Yeah.
But once the clearinghouse figured out that payroll HR wasn't going to cover that, they decided to get their money back.
And then something went wrong again.
A lot of somethings. So they kept...
A suspicious number of somethings.
They kept taking money, and then they just kept taking and kept taking. And with the ACH transfers, you can go negative. Right. So one woman had, what was it, like a negative $1 million?
Yeah, that's what although the article says they weren't able to like track that down for sure to confirm it, but one woman reported that she was at negative $1 million.
Yeah, so yeah. That's just a screenshot, but
yeah.
Something definitely, there's no question that something terrible has happened.
The FBI is involved, and if you were affected by this, I'm so sorry, it's terrible. Some people are going to be waiting 60 to 90 days to get their stuff back. Some banks were like, okay, we'll fix it.
Can you imagine going 90 days?
With a negative $1 million balance? No, I can't. That would be bad.
That would be very difficult. You'd have to do like payday lending, yeah. And then you'd have to carry that 40% interest.
Yeah.
For 90 days?
Yeah, yeah. There's nobody that's going to make you whole after that. Like that's, I don't even think there's an insurance policy that would cover crap like this.
Yeah, that's going to be some lawsuits. And rightly so.
More than a few. Probably a lot of criminal charges, too.
Let's hope.
With any luck.
Speaking of criminal charges, we all get the Nigerian scam emails.
This is a follow-up to the story that we did on that.
Well, I think this is another wave of that.
Yeah.
So, like, we talked about the guy, those guys were in California, right?
Yeah.
They got, so they have...
But they were directing their friends back home in Nigeria.
You have, the Nigerian guys are often actually in Nigeria, and they're preying on people in the U.S., but then you have to get that money back to Nigeria somehow. So you have mules in the country. And a global sweep, a dragnet, has been run to catch every aspect of that scam.
281 alleged email scammers arrested in massive global sweep. It was like a dozen countries, nearly a dozen countries. But the U.S. and Nigeria and the U.K. and Ghana and a whole bunch of other countries.
That was like Germany, I think, was on the list, and France.
Yeah. So it's good. Like, yay, today is a day for international cooperation to take these guys out. This is good news.
But they point out that these are low-tech scams. Yeah. So what percentage do you think 281 is of the total? 0.1?
Those guys were fairly effective at it, though.
Like, maybe they got the best of the best.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's the sad thing here is that people are still falling for this.
That's bad.
That's been a meme for years.
You got to learn your memes. Just for protection, right? We talked about sim jacking, and the most recent high-profile one was the Twitter guy. What's his name? Dorsey?
Dorsey,
oh, yeah.
He got sim jacked, and they used a copy of his phone to make racist tweets in his name. And there was nothing he could have done about that. That was not something, no matter how good your protection is, you can't stop it. Except you kind of can, because some phone companies have ways. It's kind of like locking your credit. So as long as your credit is locked, nobody can make changes. And you have to go in and be like, unlock this. I want to buy a car. Turns out you can kind of do that for your phone, but they won't let you.
T-Mobile has a secret setting to protect your account from hackers that it refuses to talk about. T-Mobile's little-known no-port setting can protect your SIM number from SIM swapping. Basically, that's literally your number cannot be ported if it is marked no-port.
Which means that no one can pay off the guy at the store to give you a matching SIM and let you steal cryptocurrency. Why they would not let you do this, I'm not sure. I mean, charge $5 for it, right?
Screw our customers? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's what they're planning. It's like, oh, you can turn that on for $5.
Yeah, when they're working on the putting that into the payment system.
Yeah.
The kiosks. We've talked about account sharing. Some people at this disk. Well, I guess actually it doesn't count anymore, does it? Because you're actually a family now.
Yeah. So.
Look at you.
Screw off with your judgment.
Well, that's good news if you're a Spotify user, because Spotify is cracking down.
Spotify wants to know where you live and will be checking in. Truly, we have entered George Orwell's 1984.
I have Spotify now. I have not been asked for an address. I don't even have my real name on it.
They're shutting you down.
If you're using Spotify's premium family plan, the music service will need your address. Does anybody remember a time when you could just buy music?
You still can. It's just not as effective.
Like, why wouldn't you? How is it not as effective?
Because I can listen to everything and not have to buy every single damn album
Bluetooth.
I want.
Bluetooth. And Google Music has gimped their upload feature. It's so terrible.
Couldn't you just store everything on an SD card and get a device that has an SD card?
To get all the music I want, I would spend way more than what I ever spend on Spotify.
There's no way you store all that on an SD card. Because literally while you're driving around, you're just oh, I'm in the mood for this. And it's there. Mm. Yeah, it's...
Not everyone just listens to the full catalog of Weird Al.
I think this calls for us to do a server. It's your home media server, streaming that content from anywhere you are, because this kind of BS cannot be tolerated.
Spotify, if you have the premium, you can just download it too. You don't even have to stream it. So I have some of my favorite albums just downloaded.
Yeah, but that corrupts the whole idea of ownership. I want to acquire the media and have the legal right to format shift it into whatever I want.
I think you can still do that.
To avoid with Spotify, I guarantee there's something in there that's if you download the music, they're no. If you ever stop subscribing, then no.
Oh, well, I'm sure that. But I already have physical copies of some of my favorite albums.
Those are dangerous thoughts and statements. You can't be allowed.
Those are not very capitalistic, comrade.
Spotify's going to need your home address, please.
But actually it is. But it's the whole basis of capitalism. It's ownership and rights.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, Spotify. Now, I wonder how they're going to deal with mobile, though. Because I guess... Are they going to have some kind of partnership with Verizon? So, is this registered at this address?
Well, the article says that they did actually on the app want GPS permissions, and people were freaking out. So, I guess if you've got GPS on your phone is never at your home address or even your home state.
You're going to have to visit your parents, once a week to keep your... Wow. Some people would actually enjoy that.
I don't know how they would even... where we are, where everybody is literally, several hours apart, I don't know how they would handle that.
No, it's you have to be in the same house. That's the rule.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you can't do the plan. It's just, sorry. Be more of a family.
Actually visit each other. No one wants that. Nobody likes that.
I just want to give it to my dad who's in a home with dementia. How is that not okay?
Well, he doesn't know the difference. You can just play the Weird Al catalog for him. Over and over. So, ransomware, we talked about that. And about once a week now, we get a high-profile ransomware. We didn't have any breaches of the week this week. I didn't find any.
I'm sure there were there.
We'll
double up next week.
But a ransomware, we did have a pretty big ransomware this week, a big radio network.
Giant Intercom Radio Network. Intercom Radio Network, I guess.
There you go.
Deals with a ransomware-like incident. So they haven't confirmed. They're not talking about it. But if you read the memos they sent employees, basically all of the systems that were all connected together are all down. But the on-air systems, which were a separate system, good move. Smart thinking. Those are still up, and those still work.
So, yeah. It definitely seems like they got a $500,000 ransomware. And I think...
Sounds like they didn't pay it.
Yeah, the presumption is they refused to pay it, which is interesting. And...
this one I could not read.
Will they...
Yeah, I didn't read this one.
Oh, this was a great one. Okay. So, Alabama has... It's one of those college football towns where... They are just, everything revolves around.
Oh, is this the GPS tracking thing?
Roll Tide.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you're a student, you get cheap tickets. You can go to the student section, right? That's part of the experience. Because those tickets are hotly contested. Everybody wants to go to these college football games. But if you're a student, you get special consideration. The coach, Nick Saban, is a bit of a Nazi when it comes to football attendance. And the Crimson Tide is really good. So regularly, they'll have 80-point blowouts where the other team doesn't score. And the students get a little bored during those games. And sometimes they leave early. Nick doesn't care for that.
Orwell, Obama? Crimson Tide track locations to keep students at games. So I guess if you download the app to get the tickets, you can't leave.
Well, it's a little bit worse than that. Because the app...
That sounds pretty bad, though.
This is kind of like the social credit score, right? So your attendance to the games and how long you stay at the game will contribute points toward a system that can get you better tickets and tickets to championship games. So if you really love your team, you'll come to every game. You'll stay the entire time. They mentioned that it's Alabama. Sometimes it's 100 degrees.
This does sound like the Chinese credit scoring thing. Yeah. We have more in common with China than we realize.
And you have to sign up for the app to get...
Are we the baddies?
Well, no, I mean, it's not even good or bad. It's like, do our leaders realize how similar, like, completely different circumstances lead to the same types of population manipulation on either side?
Well, this is an American university, so, I mean, you know, they're already communists. It's not that big of a stretch.
Fascinating.
Moving on to nonsense. Does everybody remember Tay, the chatbot?
Microsoft's chatbot.
Yes.
That had to, like, yeah, it was
started
bad.
Out innocent and a wonderful companion for people to chat to, and in short order became a white nationalist because of Twitter. So it turns out before Tay became a white nationalist and had to be put down, there was another controversy that we're just finding out about.
Taylor Swift threatened to sue Microsoft over its racist chatbot, Tay. This is before it was racist. Taylor Swift didn't want the chatbot to be named Tay because she wants to trademark Tay.
They claim that the name Tay was so synonymous with her that the chatbot should not be allowed to be named that.
I don't really think that that's true, but I mean, can you really, like, trademark or nickname? Well, I guess you can.
If you're Taylor Swift, you can try. It was not successful, but the Tay downward spiral was so rapid that she was taken offline before this could play out. So we don't know if this would have worked or not.
Is there some universe where Taylor Swift controls 4chan directly instead of indirectly and created the entire situation? Because that group was largely who was the Pepe memes.
Have you seen
turning the chatbot bad?
Have you seen the photoshops of her in Nazi gear? They're really good.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I have seen there's like a Twitter account that like mixes up her and Adolf Hitler quotes, which is awful, but also funny.
She looks great in those outfits.
No one ever said that the Nazis weren't fashionable. Yeah.
Oh, this is sad.
We get a lot of these stories out of India, and I wonder if they're true or not. Like, who would know if they're just making this stuff up? I mean, it's the Khajiit Times. Khalij Times.
Khajiit is a race in Skyrim.
I know. That was
Elder Scrolls.
It's always about PUBG, too. Like, they love PUBG headlines in these Indian papers.
Man chops off father's head to play PUBG in peace.
Yikes.
This is, apparently this whole family lived together. And this guy lived with the article says that this guy lived with his 65-year-old father, and his father thought he played too many games or too much stuff on the internet, so he cut off the internet, and that's what sent the guy into a rage. Cut off his head and legs.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of a title like Khajiit has PUBG stories if you have coins. So here's my question about this story, right? Did he do the legs first just to immobilize the father so he could continue to play, but then the father kept harassing him verbally, so he was like, all right, I gotta take the head.
I think the internet was turned off and it just, like, it escalated.
But if you take the head first, why the legs?
Yeah. Are you still angry after that?
He's been playing the forest, too.
Is this the kind of story that's written to make people not play video games, maybe?
Yeah,
does it really happen?
I feel like there's too many steps from, like, my internet's cut off and I'm angry, where it's like, oh, let me go out to the shed, get an axe, immobilize my father.
There was that story, I think it was in the U.S., it was in one of the Western countries, where the guy was playing Fortnite, and a repairman turned off the power.
Oh, yeah.
And he came out with a katana.
In that story, there were signs that the mental health of that individual was not the best.
Well, obviously, this guy probably not either, if that's true.
Are you saying that just because he plays PUBG, Chris, or that's racist?
I'm saying because he cut off the head. And
we didn't know that
body.
At the time. That we have a problem here in the U.S. called gerrymandering, and that's where you move the voting places around in order to shape it toward a certain political party.
And boy, is it effective!
Do they have that in Europe?
I don't know. That's an engagement challenge for the European audience.
I bet they do, at least in one country there.
So in Indiana, or wait, no, where was it? Was it in one of the Carolinas? North Carolina. In North Carolina, they had such a massive problem with this that there were all these lawsuits, and they said, okay, fine. We'll rebuild it, and we'll rebuild it in the most logical way that we can. And they actually had to live stream it to prove that they weren't cheating. But even then, they only came up with a series of candidates. How do you pick a candidate to prove that you're not gerrymandering? What do?
You randomize. So in the Senate redraw, lottery machine picks district maps at random. So yeah, they literally reused the state's lottery machines to help with the district redrawing. And if they did it correctly, and this is truly randomized redrawing, bravo. Good job.
But the Democrats are not happy. They're already suing because they claim that the last 5,000 candidates were incorrect in some way. You can't win.
Still,
what a good use of everyone's time and resources.
Yeah, I mean, they had to live stream. It took forever. And they describe how the woman was trying to verbally describe what she was doing because the lawsuit, the way it was settled, it was like, you have to describe every detail of this process, and it has to be recorded and archived for future reference. So that's not. We should do that for more government stuff. Actually, we just waste their time, keep them busy.
Yeah, I mean, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Just let everybody see what you're doing in the open.
You know who's going to need a lot of disinfectant? It's this guy.
Oh, biohackers chased Johnny Mnemonic with peg leg implanted hard drive. It doesn't say how it was powered, but
oh yeah, it does. It's inductive.
Oh, the inductive coil.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They modified a Raspberry Pi Zero. Looked like. Yep. And inserted it into this guy's leg, and it could stream pictures. Yeah, so.
Oh, oops. No. I really hate looking at pictures of biohacking stuff, just because there's always a massive bulge under the skin.
I mean, it's still still really big.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not getting through airport security without someone noticing that.
Also, they did this in these guys' house. Is that legal?
It's certainly probably not sanitary. Like, ugh.
So, this is just a Raspberry Pi modified for the inductive power and with an SD card in it. So, the storage is limited to the SD card.
Wouldn't it suck if you get an SD card that dies after like a year?
Yeah, and wouldn't you be paranoid how many times you're writing to it?
Yeah.
Because like, oh, how many do I have left? So, these guys are coming up with some kind of thing where you keep it in your pocket. And
the picture of it, like, every time it comes up, you see the bulge of it underneath the skin. It's like,
kind of a big scar, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's probably just got it, so same. It's probably a little grosser than how it normally would heal. But
yeah, they're going to store whatever, you know. I don't know. What do you think the write speed is?
Not great. Yeah. It's the Raspberry Pi Zero.
Yeah, so I suppose you store really, really, really important stuff, but it's still a bit. Now you coat this in some kind of resin, some kind of body safe resin. But that gets infected, and
the question remains, why?
The body still may reject it after a while. I mean, yeah. I had a little bit of pencil lead wedged in my chin, and you know, 20 years later it just popped out one day. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
They keep making the comparison to Johnny Mnemonic, but this is nothing like that. This is just jamming a Raspberry Pi into your leg.
I feel like, what's the use case here?
I feel like putting a micro SD card in a fake tooth would be just as effective.
And if it... Well, I guess you can't write to it, though. So...
Well, you have to have a special apparatus to power it on so that then you can do stuff with it. It's not going to just run forever in your leg.
Yeah. Well, you use that inductive... What do you think the boot time is? You have to stand next to the power source.
There are a couple so images for the Raspberry Pi Zero that it'll boot up in like 300 milliseconds or something crazy like that. But you have to use a modified image, otherwise it's like 12 seconds.
Well, I imagine this is just storage, just read-write. Right? I mean, that's all you'd ever need it for.
Maybe. You could use it for computation, though. It would be cool if you kept your private keys on that. That would be really awesome.
Are you going to get one on your leg?
Yeah, I guess if the Russians came, they'd probably just take your leg. So that's probably not cool.
It's so big, you can't hide the fact that it's there.
Yeah.
Or if they search you. If you're at the airport
Hell,
and they
just look
you down,
at your leg.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, here's a lump. Let's pop
Ugh.
That out. Yeah. We found a new way to discuss Krista.
Something about that, like, because it looks so foreign.
Have you
it's
ever
very
seen,
clear that it's not supposed to be there.
Have you ever seen where people get medical devices and they have to get those big-ass batteries?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my mom had a pacemaker several years ago, and, like...
Well, those are pretty small now, though, aren't they?
They are now, but, like, when my mom first got one, like, there was... It wasn't super visible, but, like, you could tell, like, kind of where
out?
It was. It did when she was first healing, because, like, you had the scar on top of it, and it was, like, really swollen. It eventually went down, but, ugh. At least that serves a purpose.
Krista loves mushrooms. Not those kinds of mushrooms.
No. I found this story, and I thought it was interesting.
And so whenever we find a mushroom story, we throw it in there, and she found this one.
Using fungi to fix bridges. So this is really cool. This is kind of like, it's more of an experiment right now. It's not something that they've actually done yet. But basically what happens is, you know, concrete starts to crack, and then it cracks open to a certain amount, and then water gets in, and the water activates the fungus inside of it, and then the fungus is engineered in such a way that it basically bridges across and repairs the concrete.
Self-healing. Here's the scenario. Ready? Aliens. They show up, and they attack Manhattan.
Right. As they always do.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? Right? It's the biggest city in the world. And they conquer it. And we need to get in there to stop them. But we can't get aircraft in there because they're aliens. They control the skies. We need to get a SEAL team or something in there on the ground. But we can't because the bridge fungus has turned on us.
It's just nonstop rain and
so
it keeps rebuilding.
How does Tom Cruise defeat the bridge fungus to get into Manhattan and destroy the alien threat?
I don't know.
There's your movie.
Oh, that was neat, though. Like I said, it's not been actually done yet,
cool.
But it's theoretical.
That could be good for your house, too, I would think.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's all kinds of applications for it. It would
like
be self-repairing.
In between bricks?
We could definitely use some mortar fungus here at the office, because, yeah, pretty sure the mortar inside the wall is just dust at this point.
Although,
well, when we redid the bricks in here, it was just like...
Although it talks about how the fungus, so when you starve it of oxygen and water, it goes back to spores. How structurally sound is that?
Not at all.
Yeah, so I wouldn't think at all. Like, that's probably why it's still theoretical and not actually a product available on the market yet.
Probably the most... my favorite feel-good story from the history of Level 1 was Romeo the Frog.
Yeah.
Romeo the Frog was this frog, and he was the last one of his kind. But then they magically found a bunch more, and they threw one in there, and he got to mate with her. He was bad at it. I think they eventually made it. They've stopped updating that Twitter with anything about Romeo. It's just garbage, like environmentalist trash. I want Romeo updates.
Romeo updates.
Now, this is not related to that, but it is related to frogs and mating them in weird ways.
Frogs that were married in July to please the rain god, now divorced after severe rainfall in MP.
What's MP?
MP stands for...
Media Prayers?
No, it's... oh, yeah. Madhya Pradesh. So here they are.
Here's Look the, at them in their little marriage outfits.
Here's the couple. So the idea is the rain god wants frogs to be married.
Of
obviously,
course.
Right? I mean, we've all learned that in kindergarten. So... When it's too dry, you go out, you find two good frogs, the best frogs, you hitch them up. But what happens when the rain god is too pleased?
They need a divorce.
Monsoons.
What if they're still really happy and like they really want to be together and then people are like, no.
Doesn't matter. No, this, for the good of the people, they can never be together again.
Sometimes I get the feeling that large corporations are pushing this narrative and there's really a lot of parallels between that and like the Pluto episode of Rick and Morty. So it's like, oh yeah, no, climate change. No, it's the rain god, the frogs.
I'll tell you, based on the state of my lawn, I'm looking for some frogs to hitch up. We're going to have a full ceremony.
Yeah.
There was a snake right outside my garage.
Wow, that's cool, buddy.
I got one in my basement.
I don't know what kind of snake he was. He had yellow stripes, but I was just like,
was red touch yellow or red touch black?
Yellow.
Red touch yellow kill a fellow.
Yellow and black.
Oh, just yellow and black, no red?
You know what? I didn't get that close. I just hustled him on out of there and went to work. But what if I married him to a frog? What do you think that would result in?
A Disney movie.
A horrific winter that covers all of Kentucky.
Krista, you gasped. You were excited about this when you saw it a few
minutes
ago.
Yeah, when we were going through the story a second ago.
Do you have this?
A little bit. And I didn't know what it was called when I was a kid. I think it's a... I can't pronounce it.
Apparently
the word.
They made that name up on Reddit.
Yeah, in 2005.
It's like tryptophobia or something like that, where it's like a fear of weird hole patterns. Apple's iPhone 11 Pro triggering fear of holes.
The hole pattern reminds me vaguely of a close-up of an arachnid.
Yeah, a little bit.
There it is.
This doesn't really trigger me.
They're not small. I thought it was supposed to be tiny holes that scared you.
No, it's scare isn't really the right word either. Just something about it like makes my skin crawl if it's like a weird texture with lots of holes in it.
Really?
Yeah.
What about your pores?
So the reasons they think some people have this is because it's like some sort of instinctual thing of like skin diseases. Like people don't like that.
What about a sponge? Does a sponge get you?
No.
What about pancakes?
When I was a kid, I had a blanket that had equally spaced holes all through it. It was like a knit blanket. And I remember having it hung up over like the canopy of my bed for a while. And I had to take it down because I didn't like looking at the pattern at night.
You know what this could explain? The cheese counter.
No, I was scared of the cheese counter because of the social interaction.
I don't know.
That was genuine fear and anxiety. This is just like a weird uncomfortableness. Someone in the comments will probably know what I'm talking about.
The holes in Swiss are not as intimidating because they're the same color, whereas this looks like arachnid.
It does look like eyes. This one doesn't bother me, though. It doesn't trigger it for
Well,
me.
As a designer, you need these holes. What do you do about it?
I wouldn't do anything about it. It's about what functionally makes sense to get the best image for the camera.
But if people are running in fear from it...
They don't want those people as your customer anyway. You're making Apple even more exclusive.
So you're saying that you have this problem, but screw the people that have this problem, right?
In this case, yeah, because this is what needs to be done to make the camera most efficient.
Hmm?
It's controversial, but...
Yeah, I would say that... Now, they do say that some people will go so far as to vomit when faced with this.
Mm. Oh, no, I don't understand that. I just feel like I don't like to look at like patterns like that, but it doesn't bother me.
I don't know
me.
That they understand it either, but it... What?
We should Google that
Chat,
in a minute.
Weigh in on whether or not holes scare you.
Tryptophobia, Google it, and then I can show you some patterns that I find uncomfortable.
I think tryptophobia would be fear of turkeys.
Is that...
That's
no,
the
I think... I might be saying it wrong. I can't remember it. I can't remember the actual word for it, but it's something like that.
It was in the article.
Yeah,
it's
do I have it right? Okay, I thought
there,
I did.
There it is.
Trypophobia.
Oh,
no,
that's tryptophan.
That's what is in turkey. That was the joke Wendell made.
Oh, hang in there, chat.
Yeah, he's really messed it up trying to type it.
Well, it was the stupid autocomplete that got me. Thanks, Google.
Oh yeah, I don't like a lot of these. A lot of these make me very uncomfortable.
So okay, hornet's nest. Oh, what is this?
Yeah, it's like skin diseases. That's part of the reason like they think some people have this sort of weird phobia.
Is that a finger?
The one with the hand or the foot down there, that one really freaks me out.
Oh.
Like, it doesn't make me like scream or scared or like want to throw up. It just makes me very uncomfortable.
What about honeycomb?
Honeycomb doesn't bother me as much.
It's the it's the regular hexagonal structure.
Yeah, something about it is like sort of uncomfortable and I'm not sure why.
There's a lot of like seed.
Yeah, seed pods and yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, some of them are kind of weird. They are uncomfortable, right?
I'm okay with it. Oh, that's cool. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, see, I find that uncomfortable. I'm not scared of it, but I don't like looking at it.
What about this guy?
That's fine.
I want some strawberries.
Oh yeah, what about strawberries? Pomegranates.
That doesn't trigger it for me. It's almost exclusively like skin.
Chat, share your tryptophobia triggers.
In the chat, engagement challenge.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, bye.